in today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit ManilaPR.com now.
That lass on Radio 4 who's sort of Charlotte Green, she's got nothing on me.
Do you look into their eyes, Ian, or is that too personal a question? You don't want to go into this.
What would you be shouting at the television screen, Ian Lennox?
I can't repeat that. Anyway.
But there is a slight suggestion that next season might be better. So.
Let's hope so.
No one seems to get a penalty for pulling shirts nowadays, or hardly ever.
Or Seven Simple Seasons. See what
you did there?
Yeah.
Yes, like so. It.
Fly Me to the Moon, the audio podcast companion with Rob Nichols.
Excellent. And if you're wondering why we launched with Manila PR, well, Tony McDonough is a Sheffield Wednesday fan, so who knows what could happen in their cup game against Reading tonight. Do we care? Not really. We might have played them in the next round. Rob Nichols, welcome to our cup special, The Cup That Cheers.
Absolutely.
Yep. So, I could comment about why you actually employ a referee from Sunderland who's a Sunderland fan to effectively referee a game against Fulham, but I don't think we'll, I think enough has been said.
Let's move on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's move on. And let us say,
as he might say,
forget the London hoodoo, Ian Holloway and Queen's Park Rangers.
Yes.
Whack, whack, whack.
It's rushed aside.
Exactly. And George Friend gets a goal.
A fantastic goal as well. Mm. And, Traore scored his first goal for Borough.
So you see.
What was that signal?
So shocked there that we burst into a whole different line there. And we did indeed, yes. You know, sometimes you just sort of wonder, you think, where are we going? I'll just switch that little button off there, because it magically had been pressed without sort of...
Oh, there
you go. I think it was the shock, the system shock, of Traore scoring a first
goal. Yeah.
Suddenly.
And George Friend's scoring a screamer. Yeah, scoring a screamer, yeah.
And yet still not quite back up in the playoffs.
No, obviously our away record is better than our home record at the moment. I think it's coming. I think it's and as you pointed out, that in the Fulham game there were mitigating circumstances perhaps. At the very least we didn't take our chances, which we obviously did against QPR. But we can relax, can't we? We could go into the cup match. We're actually that Sheffield Wednesday game. We play it midweek next week. So
we will talk
can't
about
relax
that
too much
in a matter of moments, because clearly now that Cavardiol has actually decided to rescue Swansea City, standing result against Liverpool, we will be talking more about that as the this particular podcast special actually develops. But in terms of the cup.
Yes.
I was shocked and doubly surprised. Actually, I shouldn't have been, because it's Mark Aronson. Do you know what he's gone and done? He's predicted a 1-0 win for Brighton.
Really?
Insane. Exactly.
Oh, right.
I hesitate to say every game is going to be a walkover, but Chris Hughton's not going to be worried about the FA Cup.
And yet, he'll be thinking to himself, I think two things. One, that game, that season decider where Middlesbrough only had to draw and Brighton had to win, and obviously we drew. It was an incredible atmosphere. Middlesbrough went up, Brighton went down, Brighton stayed down. It didn't do them any harm in the long run, but it was a fixture that meant a great deal, and there's a lot of controversy. And then you'll also be thinking about, surely, about Bournemouth, how Bournemouth have been two seasons in a row of rested players and been hammered in the cup. They were hammered 3-0, weren't they, by Wigan, and that doesn't do you much good when you go back into the league, surely.
This is true, but I just have a feeling, I mean, given what he did with Lincoln City last year, where obviously it came to naught in any way, shape or form. They had a draw and a defeat, or was it in fact it was a straight defeat at Sinsel Bank.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Somehow, I just don't feel worried about this at all, Rob. I mean, I'm honestly saying it's probably going to be 2-0 tomorrow. I just don't think it's a major issue. Right?
I don't think we're going into this with any sort of, we're going into this game as a bit of a bonus, really, and going to enjoy it. Obviously, we keep getting these home cup draws, as you mentioned last, in the last round, and we got all the way through the quarterfinals last season and really sort of didn't put up any sort of show against Manchester City. We didn't really try to win that game in many respects.
That is the point. I mean, sometimes you obviously hear your name's on the cup and you have a relatively easy round and so on, but it can be difficult if you've had two or three easy or relatively easy fixtures against lower ranked opposition. If you then come up against one of the, to use Mourinho's term, the oranges. I'm sorry, it's just, you know, it's easy. Juice. I mean, what kind of manager describes a new player as a juicy orange? It's too old for City these days anyway, so that's a different line.
Right.
But in fact, we can actually have a Fly Me to the Moon contest. Name your Middlesbrough player who you most describe as a kind of fruit.
Yeah.
And if so, what kind of fruit would they actually be described as? But no, so genuinely, I think it is one of those areas where fans can pretty much go and enjoy and relax.
I think so. And the challenge for Middlesbrough is to see if we can put one over on a Premier League team, a lower Premier League team as they are now. And they're
beginning places,
well,
let's face it.
They are beginning to struggle now, aren't they? So let's see what we can do. And, let's hope we can. And Tony Pulis gets a home win as well.
From the tax system, of course. Well, he's actually had because he had a home win, obviously, in the last round.
Which
probably actually indirectly led to the referee being so annoyed he decided to actually sort of give penalties or not penalties, as the case may be.
Must have been the reason.
Obviously, this is speculation, not to be taken seriously. Just in case you're sort of wondering, what's going on. Do not take any legal action out if you have to be a referee of Sunderland. But moving on, in terms of that. Brighton sort of system.
Yeah.
Clearly even their strikers having tax problems these days.
Well, that's a bit of a shock, isn't it? And we'll see how that plays itself out. But Glenn Murray's the man that scores all the goals for Brighton.
And in terms of, they've signed a new Dutch player, I believe,
who
nobody quite knows about. And it's fair to say that the Dutch league hasn't necessarily been quite of the standard of Niskins, Cruyff and others a few years ago.
No, absolutely.
Even Arwen Robben, who I think was probably the last major superstar to come out of Holland. So, yeah, I mean, sorry, Brighton fans. And this includes Ben Lewis, who's currently working at Bentley Motors in Hull.
No.
Not at Hull, in Crewe, actually. Doing a year's internship. I don't see them having a chance, really. Now, that could come back to bite me as the whole thing. But that's why I was astounded that even in the celebrity draw that Lawrence has actually gone through, the other sort of poets, etc., have just gone for a 1-1 draw and Laura went for a 1-0 win for Brighton.
Right. I suppose there is a rider to this. I think BBC Teas are saying this morning that Tony Pulis could be starting two players tomorrow that he hasn't played so far. So the rider could be what sort of team do we play? Team did Brighton play?
I think from Pulis's perspective, were you at the press conference today?
I wasn't.
No, but in terms of his particular view, I don't see him necessarily fielding a weakened side.
No, he really rates the cup, doesn't he?
Because he was singularly responsible for Manchester City winning their first trophy for quite some time.
Yeah. FA Cup final.
Exactly.
Which he remembers fondly from the other side.
Exactly. Yaya
Touré. An achievement. Yes.
Precisely.
Yes.
So, in terms of those sort of aspects, I suspect that, yes, he will still be passionately committed to getting a result and progressing on that. The worst, they would probably be a draw, actually, in terms of
the system.
It's a ridiculous question, and I think it's fair to say we know the answer, but given the choice between a run to Wembley, and that could mean, of course, the semi-final.
A run to Wembley.
Exactly.
I think that's what we're talking, aren't we?
Yeah. Which one are we looking for?
We're looking for, yes, the dreaded Wembley, the dreaded W.
Three possible trips to Wembley. Playoffs, semi-final, and FA Cup final.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Obviously, the playoff final and winning the playoff final would mean a great deal. Well, no, I mean, an FA Cup semi-final would be phenomenal.
We put a bit of cheer on the sort of line from that point of view. Transfer news. We haven't really seen a great deal as yet.
No, of course, the window's coming to the end, isn't it?
Exactly. By the time we now have our next podcast, the window will have shut.
It will have done.
So, any fears about that? Is the case? No, actually, I think we're pretty much okay in terms.
Tony Pulis wanted to cut the squad down. He said that he wanted 18 outfield players, and then his goalkeepers, and then he brings four players from the academy and they train. And I think that's a great way forward, really. But I don't think we're under any pressure financially to sell anybody. And there might be people, one or two people looking at people like Traore, although maybe that comes further down the line, but we don't have to sell. I wonder if there might be one or two more players going out on loan, for instance, that Tony Pulis doesn't see in that core squad. But and whether it'd be sort of dangling a carrot, won't you, see if you can get maybe a couple of experienced old hands in for that he thinks can do a sort of, you know, sort of almost like regenerate their career in a way that someone like Jermaine Pennant when he went to Stoke or Etherington when he went there, something like that. If you can get somebody
Peter
at the last minute,
no, perhaps not.
Yeah, well, Peter Crouch is still incredibly effective, but I'm not saying we're obviously not going to sign in those players. Pennant plays well down the pyramid, I think, doesn't he?
Ozil, perhaps not.
No, but that's the sort of thing. It's I don't think we're going to look at smashing any transfer records.
Any sort of feeling of sadness or melancholy at the 4.5 million that the Leeds United folk decided to pay for Adam Forshaw to take him a couple of weeks ago? So we haven't had a chance to speak about that.
No, that's true.
And clearly, since he went, Leeds have a wonderful new dynamic crest, which is borderline fascist in my line, but still there we are.
It does.
That's like what a Mussolini salute, really.
Very much. I think most Borough fans will feel. Will feel delighted for Forshaw in a way that he's got an opportunity to get first team football. He was very unlucky in the fact that he was behind the Clayton Ledbetter midfield partnership all the time. He got his opportunity last season at the start of the Premier League, and he really looked like he was a Premier player for that first half of the season. So it was sad for him that he was back down the pecking order, and he's got an opportunity now to show that the potential that he used to have, that he used to demonstrate when he was at Brentford. So no, I think it's good for the player, really.
Give a little mention to Jose Mourinho's wannabe, that's Saito Karanka, who clearly a good result for Forest, in which
yes, it was.
The team against Wolves did extraordinarily well.
Yeah,
and again, as an outside bet, I think they could be one of Borough's challengers, really.
It's interesting because the Forest had beaten Arsenal the week before he came in, and then the first game. They looked really poor in losing that first game, but then doing something that no one else has managed to do, and also the other side of the coin could we see Wolves begin to falter? I don't know whether they might drop some points.
The potential for a season blip is obviously there, as indeed Cardiff City will sort of entail us with, and so on.
It's
a bit different, but hopefully not on Sunday when Cardiff City play another city, but we'll go on. Okay, still to come, we'll be talking more about Sheffield Wednesday coming to the Borough, and of course the last time the two sides met in the league, well, both managers went after the end.
They
really,
didn't, so, do, yeah.
Who knows what could happen. Unlikely if that was going to happen in the
Very unlikely, I think.
Future, but you never can tell.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song. Or the fragrance for men.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 225 grams of magnesium.
Hang on, slow down. One tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right,
that's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Hi, this is Bernie Slaven and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon.
Thank you, Bernie.
Marvellous. He just passes, he shoots, he scores. It's fantastic. Sheffield Wednesday. The Steel City Derby was a recent sort of battle, which
indeed
was a glorious 0-0 draw. And clearly they've got a Dutch manager now, I believe. Sheffield Wednesday. Is he a Dutch manager?
I don't know. He's a European manager. Yeah. And first thing he's done is... He's shore up the defences, hasn't he?
They're not
leaking goals. And obviously, the next thing they need to do is start scoring goals.
It is interesting because I think Carvalho got them to the playoffs two consecutive seasons.
Yeah.
Some people might say it was time to go. Clearly, they didn't say it was time for him to go. And many folk would say he was very fortunate to go straight into the Premiership with Swansea.
Within a couple of days.
But having said that, you can't argue with some of the results he's had at Swansea so far, which has certainly meant that they're not being cut adrift.
No, that's right.
There's still that pack where, ridiculously, I think anybody from the top 10 or 9th or 10th position could conceivably actually be sucked into the relegation battle. Clearly, it'd be nice if Newcastle went, but sorry, Newcastle, but, you know, Rafa Benitez is such a happy child. You know, so Amanda Staveley obviously said no. And that's Mr. Ashley for you.
And Mr. Ashley said no.
Exactly. They've got to work through that process. So it's an interesting one, and it's one which, if we are serious, and if Borough are serious, I'm sure Tony Pulis will be well aware of this, that ultimately you need 3 points from a game against Sheffield Wednesday. Not necessarily a promotion rival as such. They're kind of just not quite with the pack, really.
Nip
and tuck, really, in terms of that.
They're well down the league.
Yeah, exactly. But the sort of game where really you'd be looking for 3 points, and anything less than 3 points would probably be seen as a disappointment.
Yeah, and that would be his first league win at home, wouldn't it, at the Riverside? And obviously, the difficulty is coming so quickly after the cup match, but that's the nature of the Championship, and with or without the FA Cup,
cliche,
and that's
going to
But as we go work towards the end of the season, we get a lot more matches, don't we?
Yeah. And I mean, looking at the next, because I think it's obviously one game at a time, but looking at the sort of next little batch, it's home to Sheffield Wednesday, away to Norwich, and then home to Reading.
Yeah.
And once more, I think now we're not quite at the business end of the season, but we're certainly approaching the sort of areas where you need to be ensuring that not just keeping touch, but you start making those particular strides. This was, I think, why the Fulham result was so frustrating.
Yeah.
Because a win there, coupled obviously with QPR, and suddenly you're nicely placed in the playoff position.
Absolutely, but the distractions of the transfer window are about to finish, aren't they? I don't think it's been quite as distracting as it was last season, not to any extent. And as we were saying, we might not even really be seriously involved in it. So that sort of team is starting to come together, isn't it? And there are. But there's options outside of the team, but it's good to see it sort of gelling, and very important last week that George Friend, as well as scoring a goal, put in a really good performance, and it just shows that the manager having faith week in week out with first Ayala and then Friend, the regaining the form and the class that they had, and the same will be with Traore, the fact that he's really banked on Traore playing him every game. He scored his goal, he's providing assists, and he's doing things that nobody else can do in the Championship.
It is interesting, we were talking about the from 10 downwards going down for the Premiership, but if you actually look at the top 10, we have Wolves, Derby, Cardiff, Aston Villa, Bristol City, Sheffield United, Fulham, Borough, Brentford, Leeds, Preston, Ipswich.
Very competitive.
Yeah, but equally, other than Wolves, and who knows what their response to the recent Forest game could actually be, other
absolutely
than Wolves, and we mentioned that, there's nobody there. Actually, Derby probably looking as though they're getting their traction.
Had a great, really good, traction. I mean, good run of form.
That's ultimately what we're talking about here, getting that traction to get more than just a kind of win, loss, draw. Yeah.
They've got a lot of experience in their squad as well, haven't they? Yeah. They've got a lot of goals in their squad. And probably their win at the Riverside really fired them on. And we've seen a few teams, actually, that where we've been beaten and we've really reacted as fans badly to it. We've seen a few teams really kick on from those wins. Fulham, obviously, Fulham have had some very good results. Yeah. Continued to after beating us. Bristol City obviously went on a real run after beating us. The danger signs, I think that we were talking about the FA Cup, the danger signs for the League Cup.
Bristol City should not have exhausted themselves in the Carabao Cup. They should have just realised that, look, it's Man City, they need to go to Wembley, just let it go. That's the important thing.
But it was a dream, wasn't it? It was a phenomenal run.
It's Manchester United, is perfectly okay, of course, because that's fine.
Yes. It's something they'll be talking about for years. I remember, going back to Neil Warnock's time at Sheffield United, they were a fantastic cup team, weren't they? They failed to get the promotions, perhaps, not getting into the Premier League, or was delayed for a long time because of those cup runs. But at the same time, it built up a fantastic atmosphere around the club and around the city. And I'm sure Sheffield Wednesday fans would thank me for saying this.
As we said at the start, it's the cup that cheers.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, we're 12 points ahead of Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
So significant difference.
Oh,
Sheffield
Wednesday
down in 17th position. Forest up in 15th position. Some might say surprising lines from that. Reading, of course, even further down with Jaap Stam, obviously. Is he Stam? I'm still there.
Yes.
Still sort of having to battle through.
Yeah, there's definitely opportunities in these next three games. If we could beat Sheffield Wednesday, then Norwich would look to be the most difficult of those three games. But our away record at the moment is such that, you know, that they won't fancy the chances. And then the last game of the three was against Reading, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So we could be sitting quite strongly if we can get over that. Yeah, first of all, get over that sort of home hoodoo, if you like, of the first home league win for Tony Pulis. And the Brighton game could really help with that as well.
It would certainly, I think, be a nice confidence boost to have a good... I'm saying 2-0 because I just feel as it probably will be sort of similar to the Sunderland game, really. I said this before, I just can't see Brighton really being up for this somehow. I just sort of think that their mindset is more on staying in the Premiership, and I think probably we'll push that through as well.
Yes, but I do think that there's enough players who were part of, it was still there from 2 years ago within that squad. It hurt them so much that
the
final game.
Factor is there.
Well, I think
the unfinished business.
Well, I just don't think that they want themselves or their colleagues to come up here and not do any sort of showing at all. Mm.
Yeah, but the Southerners, you know, sorry, Brighton fans, etc., from that point of view. But we won't talk about Southern softies because clearly, I'm sure they'll sort of think it's a different line entirely. We haven't spoken about the magazine version of this podcast. Of course, normally this podcast is the companion to the magazine version. Fly Me to the Moon. How can people still get hold of upcoming copies and indeed back issues for this season, Rob Nichols?
Oh, you can still, if you go to the website fmttm.com. And if you click on subscribe, or that's if you want to continue, if you want to subscribe and get all the back issues and things like that, or email me at robshrug@gmail.com. Usually you can buy all the individual issues as well on the website.
It's just, I think they're more like collector's items and so on.
Series
of 86 that's Scott Turnbull's been working through a whole range of key things in that. And Spirit of 86 fact file with Tony Pulis, 3! 3! That's right, readers. To commemorate our new boss's appointment, I've rooted through my Panini sticker collection and found this little beauty. In every photo I could find, the big man was staring down the lens of the camera like a dog who just caught the scent of his... I won't go any further. A different line there, and well worth accessing just to see the Pulis Princes, as I'm defining them effectively, continue to develop the sort of success of Borough Football Club. Onwards, ever onwards. Jenny Finch, our resident writer and host of Book of the Month, said UTB, which I think stood for Up the Borough.
I think you're right,
It's fairly sort of that. We, of course, will be concluding this particular piece with those legendary five. What's your prediction, Rob, by the way? Are you sort of, because you I've been quite clear. So two.
You have, I know. It's very good. Very good. I'm going for 2-1 to Middlesbrough.
So you think they'll actually score? Brighton will actually score.
Oh.
Still, never mind.
I'm thinking it's going to be a really good game, actually, and I think it'll be quite close again myself. So we'll see.
We will be back probably just ahead of the Reading game, or maybe just after the Reading game.
Okay.
It may be a postscript. We'll see how things actually work through on that. Seven words coming up, though, and now feel free to join in. A one, a two, a three. Come on, Borough. Oh, that was good. So, slight passing mistake there. Let's go with those seven simple words. A one, a two, a three.
Come on, Borough. Up the Borough.
And presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
That's Lily Holloman affecting an accent.